He was a friend of Jackie's from at least the later 1970s through to her death in the early 1990s. She edited one of his books, I Remember Balanchine, which appeared in 1991. She commissioned another, I Remember Martha Graham, which he was still working on when she died. Mason was a soldier during the Second World War and participated in the D-Day landings in France. Afterwards, he was a cultural attaché at American embassies in Britain and in Belgrade. In London, he obtained a State Department sponsorship for performances by Balanchine's New York City Ballet, Martha Graham, Merce Cunningham, and Alvin Ailey. He later became an assistant director of the Morgan Library in New York. He broadcast dance reviews on the radio in New York City, starting in the late 1940s. He edited Ballet Review, a quarterly magazine for dance enthusiasts, meant also to reach the sort of outside amateur he was himself when he was first introduced to the dance world. He made friends with two essential figures of 20th century American dance. He collaborated with the choreographer George Balanchine on a book telling the stories of the great ballets. It was a bestseller long before he began to work with Jackie. Mason was also close to Martha Graham. He served on the board that oversaw and funded her dance company for decades. As its chair, he guided the company through critical lawsuits after her death. I was due to meet Mason at 2 p.m. on a November afternoon in the lobby of his club. I waited an hour. He didn't show up. He called me that evening. His first line surprised me.
I fucked up. I'm sorry, let me take you to lunch.
He asked me to meet him at the club again the next day. He coughed on the phone. I had the feeling that he was unwell, but didn't want to talk about it. That was the first thing he taught me. It's okay to use four-letter words when you cause someone inconvenience. Following through on meeting someone he'd promised to see, who was a complete stranger to him, and despite feeling unwell, also seemed an unusual display of ignoring and overcoming whatever was ailing him. His club was the Century Association. From the outside, it was an imposing building. It looked like an American version of an Italian palazzo. It was on a narrow side street in midtown Manhattan. There were no signs outside saying what it was. You had to know. Inside, it felt a bit shabby. Some of the walls were lined with cork and burlap, as if they were permanent exhibition spaces. It was founded in the middle of the 19th century as a place for artists and writers. The artwork of members was still on the walls, some of it famous and old. Other paintings looked amateurish and recent. The entry hall had a high ceiling and a grand central staircase, but the cork and burlap made it feel the reverse of luxurious. It was as if they were maintaining the fiction that they were all bohemians with zero extra money to spare. When Mason arrived, I was standing in an alcove reading a newspaper. I didn't notice him. He made no fanfare. He didn't slap my shoulder or make a fuss. He just showed up wordlessly at my side. He was a small man in a brown suit. He had this quietness about him. There was no false heartiness or hail fellow well met manner. He pointed to the central staircase. I don't do steps anymore. He led me away to the side and took me up in the elevator. We emerged and went into a dining room where the far walls were lined with books. The dining area overflowed into the library. Leather-bound volumes were the main decoration. Nobody was having fancy food with seven locally sourced ingredients. They were eating plates of cube steak with sides of coleslaw.